So Donald Trump goes to Mexico, and I think he hits a home run. I'll be honest with you.
I gotta say, it is a win. Everyone called it a high risk, low reward scenario, but I think that there's a high reward here.
Yeah. A.B. Stoddard is with us, and she's now associate editor and columnist for Real Clear Politics, a Chicago-based company, I might add.
Nice.
A.B., all right, what did you make of it?
Well, I mean, he didn't freak out and call them rapists, and he... he spoke the language and struck the tone, and really was measured the way that people who can't see him as president, you know, have worried he could not. And I think that that alone is valuable. I mean, yes, he read a well-written, bunch of notes, and he didn't wing it, but he did a good job doing what he had to do. It is not the way he's spoken about Mexico at all. He agreed about how wonderful the Mexican people are, and they're, beyond reproach, and their love of faith and community, and, basically was saying the same things that the president of Mexico was saying. It was quite extraordinary, but I think because he didn't blow it, it's valuable.
Does he blow it tonight?
We don't know. I mean, that's what'll be so interesting, right? He has spent and wasted, 9 days on an immigration flip-flop, completely unnecessary. Sending surrogates out to trip all over themselves, mayors, governors, spokespeople. And it's just been ridiculous, especially during Hillary Clinton's kind of one of her worst weeks of the campaign. And it's culminated in this giant 9 p.m. address on Donald Trump's immigration position 70 days out from an election for a man who, launched his campaign a year and a half ago based on, being a hardliner on immigration. It's just the whole thing is bizarre. He needs to end it tonight. I don't know, exactly what he's going to say, but if he wanted to moderate a bit on immigration, he could have done it in 36 hours and ended it right away. He just stepped all over it, made it a huge thing, and
like
I don't
going back and forth.
So I don't know what he has in store for us.
Anderson, some people call it a strengthening. I don't know who you're talking to.
Softening, strengthening.
Right. It's not softening. This is hardening. I'm hardened.
Although he seems subdued.
Some people are calling it.
Yeah. Some people. Right. So, that's right. Some people are. People tell me, who are these people?
Who are these
Stop talking to those people.
It seems like
the voices from where? In your head?
Right. AB, I mean, he doesn't poll well amongst minorities, and it doesn't seem that has a huge chance of really changing. I want to get your take on this, though. Many are saying that the speech today, this meeting, and the speech later today are about trying to appeal to more independent voters, try to win over women, Republican women even, who have left him because they thought he's saying offensive things and that he's intolerant. Is that what he achieves here? If he does well tonight at the end of this, does he bring in more people?
I am one who believes that he was never going to scare off his base, because there's evidence that all along the people who really love Donald Trump and always have since the beginning, they don't leave him no matter what he does. And when they've been asked, do you know that he's actually never going to deport 11 million and he can't get Mexico to pay for the wall? They say, that's okay. He's got the right attitude.
Right.
And so I didn't think he was going to lose his own. But this whole goal of a moderation, softening, was to try to attract these swing voters and these skeptical Republicans, sort of white college-educated women that Romney won so well and still lost the election with, and try to bring them back and consolidate them. I think actually freaking out on immigration and flip-flopping all around for 10 days makes you less likely to win over skeptics. So he might end up with like a net nothing, he doesn't lose the fervent believers, but he doesn't pick up anyone else. But I do think today the fact that he just sort of pulled it off and played the role might be valuable. If it's combined with a good speech tonight, and again, I don't know what tonight's going to be. But all of this has been aimed at people who are scared of him that are Republican, and I don't think actually that the outreach. I don't know what's going to happen in Detroit on Saturday. Maybe that'll be successful as well. I hear he's not going to talk. He's just going to sit there. But he is going into the Lion's Den. It is interesting. But I think telling black people in America that their lives are so awful, they literally have to support him because they have nothing else to lose, is not a winning message either.
No,
I don't either.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's funny because you know you talk to people, mm-hmm. and listen. There's a racial tinge to all this. Let's just be adults. I'm not going to be politically correct about this, but it's going to be the wrong kind of not politically correct. I think for some people, which is that he was clearly aiming at white moderates with all of that. Mm-hmm. Black people hear what he said very differently than white people. White people go, hey, hell yeah, finally. See, he gets you, black people. Mm-hmm. And black people are like, what did he just say? So it's like he's talking, again, to a very wide base of people who are familiar with the kind of person that he is or they fear he might be. And so that's where the argument stays within that cell, and that's the issue. I think what you're pointing to, AB, is he's not really does he reach out? Will there be more Mexican Americans, first, second, third generation Mexican Americans, who see him going down and moderating his tone and saying, "Hey, we're not going to get rid of NAFTA. We are going," even though you do wonder where his people are going to be on this. They're going to make improvements to NAFTA. He's going to build a wall. I didn't talk about who's going to pay for the wall. And Joe Arpaio, no less a pit bull for Donald Trump than Joe Arpaio, the Maricopa County Sheriff in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Said, I don't care who pays for the wall. And again, to your point, AB, it's his own supporters are like, yeah, no, we know. We like him because he makes you mad.
Right. It is, I mean, I am not using these words. Many people have called it a cult of personality, that it's not really a policy-based candidacy.
I'm one of those people.
It's not a policy-based candidacy. They really like that he's the middle finger, to the system. And that's great, but when he looks around the numbers, they are 38% of the country or something, and he's not really going to, close the deal in battleground states with just that core of people. And so, I think that consolidating Republicans is a good goal. That's the first step, is literally to stop the bleeding and try to get back up to, like, in the high 80s, 90% of Republicans in order to start expanding the tent. But the hour is late, and if you look at what he's doing and what the new team has told him to do, the elements of it are reasonable. If he'd started a year ago, my gosh, as sort of this outsider businessman who was calm, who mm-hmm. was reasonable, who didn't, do these sort of self-destructive tweets and all these meltdowns that he has, ran a good tight ship, delegated, listened to people, controlled himself, wasn't reckless and impulsive, was inclusive with the members of Congress, didn't pick fights unnecessarily, didn't attack Gold Star families, whatever, attack senators in private meetings and let it get into the press. I mean, all of this stuff, if he had started telling people in Detroit a year ago, look, Democratic policies just really haven't helped you. Look at, Obama's record. He could have won.
Well, he did win.
What he's doing, right? It's just the way that it's been handled. And, 2 months out, is really believable.
Well,
that's true. Is it?
But he's there. I mean, here is the point. He did win the primary, despite all of that. And I think that to some degree, he stood out amongst all the rest of the people because everybody was playing like that and he wasn't. So he was the brighter, shinier object that it certainly appealed to the disaffected, angry white working class, as they like to say, of Republican voters, just people who, we know them. I've been in talk radio for three decades. I know who those voters are. I've talked to them almost every day of my life for 30 years. So I understand who he was aiming at, and he got, and that's about 20% of the Republican core, and that's all he really needed to win. And so when in a 16-person race, now he has to go in the general, doesn't exactly have a policy, doesn't exactly know what he's doing. So he's very quickly putting one together. He's got arguably the worst Democratic candidate you could possibly have running against him, who is running against her own series of scandals that are just crescendoing at this very moment.
Hillary Clinton's unpopularity reached a new high, according to an ABC News poll this week.
He has every opportunity to win this thing. And now if he just pretends to be this, to me, I mean, I don't know how, if you were able to see this whole thing, AB, today, but he looked like a 10-year-old waiting to take communion. Right. He was like there. He was shuffling back and forth. He had his eyes closed. He had his hands in front of him. Like he's like, I know I have to act like this right now, but I hope no one's looking at me. And he's just waiting to talk. Right. He doesn't like it when other people are talking. And so he had to be in his shoes. And I'm just telling you, I think today's a gigantic win. If he doesn't screw the pooch tonight in Arizona, you're going to watch these polls tighten up considerably over the weekend.
You know what? I I think that he's taking some good steps. I think the polls are going to tighten anyway, just because it's such a polarized country.
Yeah.
And yes, she is unpopular. I just don't know. I think that if you, well, we just don't know what's going to happen. Yes, depending on what, you know, I mean, what could happen to her in terms of revelations and emails and all that stuff. I think that he has to get into 90 minutes of debate without note cards and teleprompters and actually pass a plausibility threshold at that point. And
right.
I think that people who are nervous about him, you know, being focused and being disciplined and being interested in, you know, sitting for an ISIS briefing for 40 minutes and that kind of thing are really waiting for that as a final test.
Yeah. Well, he didn't win it today, but he helped himself, I think, so far today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I mean, he didn't blow up, and the threshold was don't melt down, you know,
right.
at the president's palace. And he definitely looked good and sounded good, and even if he shuffled there like a 10-year-old waiting his turn, it was, you know, he pulled it off.
Yep.
He sure did.
Yeah, he did. All right. Well, you can read A.B. Stoddard at realclearpolitics.com, which is an amazing site, by the way, for watching all of these things, right, to see how things are tracking and polling. And it's I'm telling you, we will not know. I don't even think we're going to know who won the presidency the night of November 8th. I think it goes well into the morning.
Oh,
if not
I covered
the
2000 election, and I don't want to hear that.
Yes, we all did, and we don't, but that's still the case. So we shall see. AB, thanks very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you, AB.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Violetta Pattermedic, who did not cover the 2000 election because she was
not voting.
Not voting at that particular time. 16 years ago. You had not been confirmed, though. You had not had your communion yet.
Nope.
Right, because they waited till you were 17 to do that
mm-hmm.
with strippers.
Right, that's the way to do it if you're going to do it.
Yep.
Go big.
Separate issue, or go home. All right, I said Bronco Pattermedic and Donald Trump, same guy.
I don't know.
Different accents.
Yes, I think that might be true.
All right, hit it.